Father, we thank you for your precious, written, holy word. We thank you that it is a sure foundation for our lives. And we thank you for teaching us by your Holy Spirit tonight, helping us to come up to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, teaching us to win our own battles, but also teaching us to win battles for other people in ministry settings. And Lord, we give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the ushers again are in the aisle. If you would like to follow along with the paper Bible tonight, maybe you forgot to bring yours, I would encourage you to do this. Get a Bible if you don't have one. Now, I know Bibles in Samoa are actually very rare, even books in general. But if you don't have a Bible, put it on your list. Someone says, what do you want for Christmas? Say, I would like a Bible. Best thing you'll ever have is your own Bible that you can keep with you and read all the time. Well, our series, and we've been on it for a couple weeks now, maybe 4 or 5 weeks, it's called Our Constant Source. Our Constant Source of Victory, Our Constant Source of Healing, Our Constant Source of Wisdom. I've started this series very personally and said, I've been single, I've been married, I've been very sadly widowed, I've been a single parent, and now I'm remarried. And through all those different phases in my life, there are different circumstances. I needed grace, I needed strength, I needed wisdom. God was a constant source in my life, a constant source of answers, of wisdom, of what to do with children, what to do with ministry, what to do personally. And I believe he can be a constant source for you as well. He's no respecter of persons. Well, I got permission from the Lord tonight to not review for 30 minutes. And I'm so excited about it. Are you guys kind of ready to just blast off and thank you, Jesus? You know, if it was me, I would just start with the juicy new stuff every week. But we know there's all different people, and God's not a drive-by shooter type of teacher. You know, there's the message. If you didn't get it this time, too bad. He is very organized, and he invests in people. He repeats himself, and he repeats himself until people get it, and then he'll bring another revelation to their life, another truth, and then when they get that, he's very patient, he's very long-suffering, he'll stay with us until we get it. Now, any of you people are not math people, let me see your hand if you're not a math person. Jenny, don't raise your... Jenny, you're an accountant! I was thinking, please. I'm not a math person. I mean, I can add, subtract, multiply, and divide, but beyond that, when I had algebra at 14 years old, I got a big, fat, juicy F. My report card looked like this. English, A. Biology, A. History, A. Literature, A. Art, A. Algebra, F. But the teacher stuck with me. And even though I started out as a straight F student, I'm a straight F student in algebra. By the end of the year, I got a B in algebra because I had a teacher that stuck with me. Well, we're talking about how God leads us and how he helps us win. He's a source of victories. We've been talking about Proverbs, where it says that the spirit of a man is the candle of the Lord, lighting all the inward parts of the belly. Not talking about the real belly, the jelly belly, if you will, for so many people. Talking about the spirit of a man. When God talks to you, he'll talk to your own human spirit. And that's the part of you that you need to recognize. Look there for God's wisdom. Counsel in the heart of a man is like deep water. And notice it's in the heart of a man, not in the brain of a man, not in the body of a man. It's in your heart. And a man who understands how spiritual things work will draw it up out of his human spirit. He'll look inside to know what to do, not outside to know what to do, not up here to know what to do, but we look inside to the author and the finisher of our faith. From Romans chapter 8, we've read that as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Verse 16 says, His Spirit is constantly bearing witness or speaking to our spirit that we are the sons and daughters of God, if you will. And then 1 Corinthians 2, just for the sake of time, verses 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. It says God reveals things to our spirit by His Spirit, even secret things that no one else would know. He called it hidden wisdom, that God can speak to you on the inside and not any other person in the world know, not even the devil. And He said that He'll even tell you hidden things. And He also said that these things are freely given. He's not withholding any answers from you. He also said that answers from God are spiritually discerned, not physically or mentally discerned. With my body, I contact the physical realm and operate in the physical realm. With my mind, I operate or contact the intellectual realm. But with my spirit, I function in the spirit realm, in spiritual things. Now, let me keep going. He said that the carnally minded man thinks what we're talking about right now is super crazy. It's foolishness. Because hearing from God down on earth isn't a physical transaction, and it's not even a mental transaction. It's God's spirit to my spirit. It's spiritually discerned. So we're looking at some people who operated on the planet, men who were able to hear God's voice when He talked to them as a constant source of victory for their lives. And many times they saved themselves, but they also saved, for instance, with Moses, he saved 3 million people along with himself because they knew how to hear from God on the inside. When they encountered a big problem, they went to the inside. They called upon the name of the Lord. They believed that God would answer on the inside. And this is why Proverbs also says, guard your spirit, guard your heart with all diligence, because out of it come the issues of life, the answers for your life. And sometimes the answers that you're going to get from God in your heart, they will be a matter of life and death. I remember one time we were driving along a road, very icy road, very close to Christmas. I believe it was December 23rd. And we were coming back from a ministry trip, and Brother Dunnick was driving. Many of you know the story if you're students. And I was sitting there in the car right next to him, and I didn't hear a thing. Because God wasn't talking to me on the inside of me. God was talking to Brother Dunnick. He was driving. And he's driving down the icy road. He heard on the inside, not an audible voice, didn't hear it with these ears. He heard it with his inside ears. If a man has ears to hear, let them hear. Ears to hear on the inside and eyes to see on the inside. And he heard two words, slow down. And kept going fast, but then slowed the car down, and as we came around a curve, there was Bambi's dad, a big, giant buck deer with the antlers, standing in the middle of the road. And if you you guys know a lot about driving on ice and snow? No, that's okay. I'll tell you about driving on ice and snow. When you travel on ice and snow, you can't stop quickly at all. And even an animal like that, if they are caught in the middle of the road in the headlights, they can't get any traction either to run off the road. But we slowed down just in the nick of time so that the deer didn't hit the car and the car didn't hit the deer. No one was hurt. The car wasn't destroyed. And many times a deer will go through a windshield and they can impale you. So very dangerous with deers in the States, where you can hit one and people have not done well, and cars have not done well, and deers have not done well. Well, that was a source. God saved us a lot of trouble, and who knows what would have happened. The kids were asleep in the back, but God saved. He was a source of victory that day, a source of protection that day, something that could have happened. There was an early warning system by the Holy Spirit for our personal lives. So I want you to be familiar and comfortable with this concept of God talking to people that are alive on earth today. Because I remember when we started back in March, the first time we started talking about this, everybody got the big eyes and got very uncomfortable that God talks to people today. Yes, he does. And we see it all throughout the Bible, and it's very clear. So I'd like to just jump right into where we were and use some classic examples. But where we're trying to get is you being able to hear God for your own life, but also getting to a place in your life where you can hear God as a constant source for other people's needs. It's great to have a relationship with God for your own personal benefit, but really, I believe the Lord wants you to take your relationship from just personal and for me. I'm using my faith, I'm using my relationship with Him, just for me, my family, us four, and no more. I believe He would like to be able to use you in greater and greater measures for people that don't know Him, for people that maybe believe He doesn't exist, but He can work with you. And tonight's title is God Working With Us. God Working With Us. God would like to work with you at a greater level than you're able to work with Him right now. So we started with Moses. I cut the rod of Moses down so it would fit under the the pulpit. We understand this transaction. It's a great Bible story. Moses and the children of Israel, they're backed up against the Red Sea. Moses prays, calls out to the Lord, and the Lord said, "Why are you crying to me? Hold your rod out over the water and tell the people to move forward." That was a spiritual transaction from God's spirit to Moses' spirit. He was the only one that heard that. Would you agree? And then, what? The next thing we see is Moses, by faith in what? By faith in what he just heard on the inside of his heart from God, by faith, he held his rod out over the water and told the people to move forward. And then the word says the Holy Spirit moved and parted the water. There was a harvest in the natural realm when he heard a simple instruction from God that he could do and that he could believe. Hold your rod out over the water. Tell the people to move forward. It's not that hard, everybody. It's not that hard. It's not climb Mount Everest, get to the top, get a rock, bring it back down, throw it into the water, and then maybe something. No, hold your rod out over the water. We see this transaction caused a physical miracle to manifest on the earth. Is everybody good with that? That happened, and it was a man just like you and me, and it wasn't Jesus? Because a lot of people say, well, only Jesus can do stuff like that. Well, how do you explain Moses? Only Jesus can walk on the water. Well, how do you explain Moses parting the entire Red Sea? Well, it's because God is actually doing the works, but he's working with us and through us. So as we've gone through this series as well, 13 verse 7, it could be 7:13 though, because I'm not really great in math, but I remember the verse. It says that we're supposed to imitate their faith. Now, does that mean that every time I have a problem, I'm supposed to hold my rod out over something? If that was true, just do what Moses did. Hold your rod out over it. You've got a tumor, hold your rod out over it. You need a husband, hold your rod out over who you like. You want a new car, go down to Toyota and hold your rod out over the one that you like. You got a problem with your bills? Lay them on the table and hold a rod out over them. No, it doesn't say imitate what God told them to do. It says imitate the way they responded to God when he told them to do something specific. So when it comes to Moses, how long, this is the quiz portion of the night, how long did it take him to hold his rod out over the water? What do you think? 2 days? How long do you think it took him to hold his rod out over the water and tell people to move forward? Seconds. Seconds. And how long did it take before the breath of God caused a wind to come and it parted the water? How long before that started to manifest? Seconds. He obeyed in seconds, and the miracle began to manifest in seconds. So it says to imitate their faith and look at the results of their life that they were getting. When God told them to do something, they did it. And they were hearing at a level that was so crystal clear that they were full, it was full faith in seconds. And these are, give me an example of Mark 4. Well, Mark 4 is the sower sows the word. God is the sower. He will tell people to do things. Like he told Moses, hold your rod out over the water. Some people will act like, no, I didn't hear that. Other people will start to believe it and then not believe it. And then other people will, the cares of this life and other things will choke that out. But there's one particular kind of person that will hear God when he speaks to them and respond, believe and respond when God talks to them. And that's the only person that reaps a physical harvest in their life. So that's what we're calling a spiritual transaction. Is everybody good with that? And then we went over to, so again, how long did it take for Moses to obey? Seconds. How long does it take for you to respond to the Holy Spirit when he tells you something real simple? 20 years. We're going to be self-assessing yourself here. How long does it take you when you know God, you just sensed he wants you to do something or not do something? How long does it take you to be like Moses and do what you just heard in your heart? Let's go to another person, the Son of God. And we're looking at his life. And we always want to let you know there are some constant factors in Jesus' life that were the reasons why he was so successful in ministry. And in working with God at this level, he was not sinning. You don't want to ignore that one. He was not sinning. He knew the written word. He had unbroken fellowship with God. A lot of times we'll read our Bible in the morning and pray, and then we'll just, okay, that's it. And we'll disconnect from God and go out to work, go out and do our stuff. Do you know, we're never supposed to disconnect after we finish reading the Bible. We stay connected with God and abide in the vine all day long, all night long, next morning, all the way for the rest of our life. So he had unbroken fellowship with God. He was hearing from God all the time. He was full of the Holy Spirit, and he spoke from his Spirit. John 6 and 63, Jesus said, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life." Speaking from your spirit is something else that you need to learn when it comes to speaking over your problems or ministering as well. So very quickly, we're going over three examples. The Pool of Bethesda, John chapter 5. Jesus goes to the Pool of Bethesda. There's a man waiting for the stirring of the water. He goes by this person, and he knows that the man has been there for 38 years. Well, how would you know that? Well, that's a word of knowledge, as is outlined in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The manifestation of the Spirit to one is giving the word of wisdom. That's knowing the future. The word of knowledge, that's knowing certain present facts about a person's life. Then there's discerning of spirits, where you're able to discern evil spirits, good spirits, angelic beings. You're able to discern at that level spiritually. And then there's working of miracles. There's gifts of healings. There's special faith. There's simple prophecy, which is inspired utterance in a known tongue. And then there's tongues and the interpretation of tongues. All these are manifestations of the Holy Spirit. So he knew that the man had been there for 38 years. How would he know? Well, the Holy Spirit told him. See that man right there? He's been there 38 years. And we know the story that Jesus said, "Will you be healed?" He said, "No." So we understand the man has no faith to be healed on his own. He was not like the woman with the issue of blood at all. That is not how this healing occurred. This was a special manifestation of the Holy Spirit. The man had no faith. He said, "No, I'm not going to be healed." And then Jesus said, "Pick up your bed and walk." He got into big trouble over this. But thank God he explains exactly how this spiritual transaction manifested in the physical realm. He said, "If my Father works, I work." What does that mean? Well, in verse 19, he said, I can't do anything by myself. I can only do what I see the Father do. For whatever he does, I do. And that's how that happened. And then he goes on to say in verse 20, the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does. He will show him greater things than these so that you may marvel. And then in verse 30, he says, as I hear, I can't do anything by myself independently, but as I am taught by God, as I get his orders, even as I hear, I judge. Was that the Lord? Yes. That lines up with scripture. As the voice comes to me, so I give a decision. And my judgment is just because I don't seek my own counsel, my own will. I have no desire to promote myself or do something that's pleasing to myself, but only the will and the pleasure of my Father. So in order to, we talked about a card trick a couple weeks ago where I showed you how that basic card trick where pick a card, any card, and then you put it back in the deck, and then the magician, which I'm the magician, pulls out and says, "Was this your card?" And you go, "Oh, yes, it was. How did you do that?" Well, you have all the cards lined up in the same way, the faces of the cards, the back of the cards, and when the person takes the card out, you flip it upside down, the deck upside down, So when they put the card back in, that's the only card that's upside down is the one that they picked. So you just scroll or, you know, look through the deck for the one card that's upside down, and that's the card, and that's how the magic trick works. Well, there's a way that miracles work as well. And if you're seeing how Jesus was doing this, you're that much closer for God to be able to use you at this level too. He said, my Father works, I work. God just told me to heal this guy while I was walking by. I received that in my spirit. I can't do anything by myself. I can only do what I see the Lord. That's a spiritual transaction. My Father tells me to do something, I'm going to do it. And the Father is going to show me more things to do that are going to blow you away, that are going to cause you to marvel. And then we looked at Peter and John at the gate called Beautiful, where they're walking into church that day. And there was a man there that was lame from his mother's womb. Now, this other man had walked before, but this man had never walked ever in his life. And they stopped. They had money, but we got something else. Such as we have, we give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. And the man, he grabbed him by the right arm. He picked him up. And immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. How is this card trick happening? How are these men operating? Well, God is working with them. He's their direction and he's their power. They're being told to do something on the inside. And when they, by faith, step out and do it or say it, the Holy Spirit moves and manifests in the physical realm. That's how God works with men and women. And he would like to work with you at this level if you can get up to the place where you're hearing him and responding to him at this very quick level. It says also in Mark chapter 4 that the kingdom of heaven is like a man that throws a seed into the ground. And guess who the ground is? You. He'd like to produce a harvest through you. And the harvest may be for you, but it may be for someone else. And it says the seed goes into the ground, but then it produces blade, then the ear, and then the full corn in the ear. And when the harvest has come, immediately puts in the sickle and takes the harvest. Now, Moses, when the Lord threw that seed into him, what's the seed? Hold your rod out over the water. Immediately, his faith went from blade to ear to full corn in the ear. And when he did what God said, that's putting the sickle in. He stepped out by faith, and that caused the Holy Spirit, gave the Holy Spirit the right to manifest in the earth. And so these two guys, they're operating the same way Moses did. They're operating the same way Jesus did. And they were called into the police as well, the pastoral police department. And they were told, they explained, they said, why are you looking at us as if we did this by our own power? So basically the same thing Jesus said, I can't do anything by myself. I can only do what I'm seeing and hearing. He said, the name of Jesus, through faith in his name. And then they went on to say, yes, the faith that is by him has made this man to be perfectly whole in the sight of you. What do you mean the faith is that's by him? The faith that comes by him telling you to do something. So we understand as we work backwards with this story as well, because they're giving us the clues, the faith that is by him. What do you mean the faith that is by him? The faith that comes after God tells you or shows you to do something. So we understand that as they were walking by this guy, the Lord, on the inside, I want to heal this guy today. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And they heard it. How long did it take Jesus to tell the man at the pool of Bethesda, pick up your bed and walk? Seconds. As he was walking by, how long did it take him to obey what he heard on the, to believe and obey what he heard on the inside? Was it, oh, I'll come back tomorrow and see if the same thing. Was that him? Was that me? Am I imagining this? No, he's so sharp spiritually, and he's so in tune with God spiritually that when God speaks, he knows that's him. It's scriptural. That's not me. Will you be healed today? Pick up your bed and walk. In seconds, he's working with God down here. He's working with God. And he got into a lot of trouble. How long did it take Peter and John as they're walking by this man who's never walked? How long did it take them to respond by faith? By faith in what? By faith in what God just told them to do on the inside. How long did it take them? Once again, the answer is seconds. And they all got in trouble except for Moses. Jesus got in trouble for operating this way. And now Peter and John are going to get in trouble for operating this way. And they said it's the faith that's by him that has caused this man to be perfectly whole in the presence of you all. The faith that's by him just telling you, I want to heal him. Tell him to rise up and walk in Jesus' name. So I want you to see how these, they're not magic tricks. I want you to see exactly how these things are happening on earth. And that's, God can get you that much closer to, if you understand how they're operating, he can get you that much closer to you operating this way for your own self, for people that need help when there's an emergency. Do you know God needs people that can hear him right away in some cases that aren't going to take 5 to 10 days to just, was that him or was that me? And they're thrown into prison. They're taken, they're questioned. And the pastoral police said, how did you do this? And they explained it again. And they said, don't do this anymore. Don't speak or teach in the name of Jesus. And I want to look at that verse. Let's go there. Let me see, guys, which one that is. Don't speak or teach in that name. Don't speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. Acts chapter 3, verse 18. And having called them, they charged them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. Well, isn't speaking and teaching the same thing? Don't speak in the name of Jesus, and don't teach in the name of Jesus. Notice it's two different things. They spoke from their spirits in the name of Jesus when they told the man, stand up and walk. Don't do that anymore. And they tried to explain to the pastors, I'm sure, how that transaction happened the same way Jesus tried to explain to the pastors. He said in John chapter 14, he said, the Father that's in me, he does the works. I can't do the works by myself. The Father on the inside of me, he's the one showing me to do the works. And it's my Father that does the works. He gives me the directions, and then he's the power that causes it to come to pass. Why don't you believe me that God is on the inside of me showing me what to say and do? And when I do it, he moves. Don't you understand how this is happening? I'm not doing this by myself. God on the inside of me is giving me directions. And when I do the directions, the power manifests. If you can't believe that God is on the inside of me, showing me these things and telling me to do these things, then just believe me for the work's sake. Just believe for the work's sake. And so there's Peter and John faced with some of the same questions. And they said, don't speak in this name and don't teach in this name. They spoke in the name of Jesus when they used the command of faith that God spoke to them. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. And the power of God manifested. We cannot help. So let me go back to this verse. Verse 18. They called them and said, don't speak at all or teach. So don't operate in the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. In other words, if God tells you to do something, we demand that you don't do what you're hearing on the inside. Don't function this way at all. Don't you dare do that. If you hear God say something to you on the inside, don't speak in His name. And don't teach either. Don't teach the gospel. Don't teach the general gospel. And don't speak in the name of Jesus in the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Some of you Rhema students are getting it. In this case, speaking the name of Jesus was the miracle. What we did see and what we did hear. Are they talking about when Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel? Yeah, well, yes. They're preaching the gospel. But specifically, when they said, don't speak or teach. Don't operate in the supernatural manifestations of the Holy Spirit. And don't preach the general gospel message. Don't do that either. Peter and John said, well, whether it's right to listen to you or to God, you be the judge. But we can't help it but speak the things that we have seen inside and we're hearing inside. If God tells us to do something when we're walking by someone, we can't help but to stop and do what we just saw and what we just heard on the inside. Are you understanding what they're talking about here? Because a lot of people, yeah, we can't help but, you know, preach the general gospel. And they were. Jesus told us to preach the gospel before he left. And that's part of it. They're preaching the general gospel. We're always going to do that. That's not even a question. But here they're being brought in. The question was, how did you heal this guy? How did that happen? Why did it happen? And whatever you just did there, don't speak in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk anymore. Don't operate like that here on earth. Don't operate spiritually at that level anymore. Stop doing miracles. And they said, God, SMH, shma. We can't help but speak what we have seen and heard on the inside. But also, yeah, we saw and we heard Jesus. We saw him die on the cross. We know the gospel message. We're going to do both. We're going to speak if he tells us, command this guy to pick up his bed and walk. We're going to do that. And the power of God is going to be released. We're also going to teach that Jesus Christ came. God came to earth, born of a virgin, was raised here, walked among us, laid his life down for our lives. God raised him up on the third day so that we could be saved. The gospel message. We're also going to teach that as well. Mark 16 and verse 20. It says, they went forth and preached everywhere. Now that's the gospel message, right? The Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. So they're teaching the general message, but they're also receiving specific assignments They're receiving the word of God, the spoken word of God, the rhema word of God, if you will. He would confirm the word with signs and wonders following. He's confirming the gospel message, but he's also confirming what he's telling them on the inside. Tell that man to stand up and walk. He would say that to them. They would obey and do it, and he would confirm it by causing it to come to pass. The general and the specific working together. God is our direction and our power. So how long did it take Moses to hold his rod out over the water? Seconds. And he harvested a miracle manifested on the planet, working with God, God working with him. You see how these transactions are happening? How long did it take Jesus to tell the man, pick up your bed and walk? Seconds. So he can walk by a human being that hasn't walked for 38 years. As he's walking by, God say, I want to heal him. He's been that way for 38 years, telling him to pick up his bed and walk. Seconds. He's obeying. He's believing. He's acting. How long did it take Peter and John to obey when they heard the Holy Spirit tell them, I want to heal this guy? Tell them, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Seconds. How long is it taking us to at right now in our lives? How long is it taking you to obey him if he says, Lei, don't do that? Do you know we're not maybe all where Moses and Peter and John and Jesus were, but we could get there. I like the fact that Jesus chose human beings, 12 human beings. None of them were in the ministry. None of them were educated in the word of God. As far as we know Matthew was well-versed. He was an intellectual dude. But they were fishermen. They were tax collectors. They were nobodies. They weren't kings. They weren't governors. They weren't the rich people or the smart people. They were people that were at the lowest level of, on the people scale. They were just common, ordinary plantation boys, fishermen, houseboys, clerk. And he was able to train them this way to get results. I believe for a reason, he picked the nobodies to show all of us that if we begin to listen to the Lord at the level he's talking to us right now, maybe all you're hearing is no. How long does it take for you to respond in faith when God says no? It should be seconds. Okay. I was just going to do something. I know it was a sin. My spirit checked me. And then the Holy Spirit bore witness with my spirit and said, no, don't do that. And I responded in half a second. And I adjusted my course. And I didn't do what I was going to go do. Do you know that's where this starts? If you can respond in 2 seconds to a don't do that, and if you can consistently respond over a period of time, don't do that, okay. Don't do that, okay. Don't do that, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that, okay. Faithful. He's responding, she's responding. Every time my spirit speaks to their spirit, I get a response, a faith response. Do you know it takes a lot of faith to listen to a voice on the inside? When you really, 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 really want to do something and the voice says, no, don't do it. I remember one time we were looking at a house to buy. And it doesn't have to be sin. It can be anything. The Lord leading you. We were looking at a house to buy. Man, I wanted that house so bad. Us ladies, we want houses, right? You guys can sleep anywhere and live anywhere. That's great. That's awesome. Us ladies, total opposite. Somehow we make it. I wanted a house so bad, so bad, so bad. But I knew on the inside the Lord said, that's not the one. Man, I did not want to respond to that. But we're hearing these messages, and okay, Pastor, I see that they're operating at that level. Yay! I understand that God's Spirit was speaking to them at this level, and they're able to hear it at that level. But I'm not even hearing nothing. How do I get there? Well, start where you're at. And remember the constants in Jesus' life. He wasn't sinning. And you can get there too. The first way the Lord will lead you is not to sin. He will lead you into righteousness, and he will lead you into holiness. You probably don't understand how much like God you're supposed to be. He said, be holy as I am holy. That must mean it's possible. Now, we pointed out that Peter and John, this miracle that they did was actually greater than the miracle that Jesus did, right? This guy had walked before, and now he's in a condition where he's walking again after 38 years. But the man at the gate called Beautiful, he had never walked. So which is the greater miracle? The one that the two humans did. Well, did they do it or did God do it? God did it through them. But we've been making some points, and I believe the Lord is really helping us. We made this point with Peter's shadow healing the sick. There's no account of Jesus' shadow ever healing the sick. And excuse me if you think this is blasphemous. It's just what we have from the recorded word. We have the record that as many as touched him were instantly healed. But we don't have any account that you didn't have to touch him. You get within 3 feet of him and you're healed. But we do have an account of Peter, who Jesus trained to be like himself, to be a Christian, that you get within 3 feet of Peter or a shadow's distance, and the power of God coming out of him would just heal you. And we made this statement. Can Peter be operating at a level of spiritual manifestation that is greater than what's recorded of Jesus? Is that possible? Yes. John 14, verse 12, it says, he that believes the works that I do and the way that I do them, the Father telling me, being my direction and then the power, the works that I do, you will do also. And greater works than these, because I'm going to the Father. And that would line up with John 5 and 20. The Lord's going to show me more stuff that's super crazy and super unbelievable, and it's going to blow your genitals off. He's just that amazing, the things that he has planned. Can Peter be functioning at a level that's considered the greater works, greater than the master, but living at a lower, so the work, the manifestation is greater. Listen real carefully, because we're dealing with two human beings that are not Jesus. Can they be functioning at what's considered a level greater, a greater manifestation, but living at a level that was lower than Christ? No. So there must have been some constants in their life, such as they're not sinning either. And they have unbroken fellowship with God. They're hearing from him. And they know the written word. And they're responding when they hear. They're full of the Holy Spirit. And they speak from their spirits the same way their master, the teacher, showed them. So I don't want you to, you say, Pastor, I really see this and I want to get there. Start where you're at right now. If you have ears that hear, don't do that. In 1 second, respond to that. To him that hears and obeys, more will be given to hear. Let me read this verse to you. Mark 4:24. We're actually going to close pretty quick. And he said unto them, take heed what you hear. With the measure that you meet, it shall be measured unto you. And unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and to him that has not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. And then it goes into the kingdom of God is like a man that sows the seed. So we're talking about God talking and people listening. If you have ears that hear, if you're hearing, don't do that. Imitate Moses' faith. Even though he's not telling you right now to hold your rod out over the water, he's trying to get you to a place where he can work with you in the miraculous. So every time he says, don't do that, yes, Lord, in 1 second, I made the adjustment. And if he's telling you that and you're respecting that and taking that seriously, saying, tell every time I go to do something wrong, Lord, tell me, alert me, talk to me. I want to hear your voice. To him that hears, take heed what you hear, the way you hear. With the measure that you hear and actually listen and obey, it will be measured unto you. And to the people that actually listen to God when he talks to them, more will be given. More will be given. I'm so tired of just hearing, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that. Well, then obey. And then he can talk to you about something greater. How come God doesn't tell me to pick someone up by the right arm and tell them to walk in Jesus' name? Remember the constants in Jesus' life? Those were the determining factors in why his ministry was so powerful. And God could give him assignments at this level. To him that has, shall more be given. If you're hearing God and in seconds obeying him, no matter what it is, don't do that. Don't do that. Tell that person that I love him. Don't say that to your wife. Don't say that to your husband. Don't say that to your kid. Don't. If you're consistently being led by the Holy Spirit and responding in seconds, even at these levels that we don't think are important, God, this person is constantly in seconds obeying what I'm giving them in their hearts, then he can graduate you up to, see that person over there? I want to heal them. Go tell them, pick up their bed and walk. To him that has ears to hear, to the person that is listening and responding in seconds to God right now, even at these low levels, if you're successfully able to do that, you'll be given more to hear. And the Lord wants harvesters. We'll end with this tonight. Jesus looked over the fields in Mark chapter 9, and he saw the people. They were scattered, and they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he said, the harvest is so great, and the laborers are so few. Now, he's talking about laborers that are able to work with God at the level he's working at right now, at the level of Pool of Bethesda, at the level of man born blind. In seconds, he's spitting and making mud and wiping it on the man's eyes and saying, go and wash in the Pool of Siloam. That's a working of a miracle. The harvest is so great. And the laborers, the people that can actually work with God at this level, are so few. Pray, therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers. Just anybody? No. Jesus trained the 12 up to the same level that he was operating at. They were a constant source of healing. They were a constant source of speaking the gospel, the good news, the kingdom of heaven has come. But they were healing the sick. They were raising the dead. They were functioning in the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. In this last day, if we're going to bring the harvest in, the Lord needs to raise up people to this level again. And that's why I believe the teaching anointing and the apostolic anointing, there's revelation in the earth today that has been lost in previous generations. But the Lord is using the same words that he used with Peter and James and John, with men and women on earth right now, to train you the same way that he trained the 12 and the 70. The same way the Holy Spirit trained Paul, to bring you up to the knowledge and the understanding of exactly how these people were functioning, and to send you out into the fields a full laborer. Someone that when God says, I want to raise that person from the dead, you hear it, you believe it. In seconds, you're responding, saying, little girl, I say to you, rise. God wants to work with you at this level. Why don't you stand with me? Stand up, and I'm kind of making you all stand. But you're standing up saying, I want that. And I might not be close. How do I get there, Pastor? Read your Bible every day. You've got to know the Word of God. Stop sinning. Listen to the Holy Spirit and your spirit on the inside. He'll lead you into all righteousness. Never disconnect from the Holy Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. You can come, praise and worship team. Pray in the Holy Spirit. If you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit and you don't speak with other tongues, we'll give an opportunity another time, but that is how you keep filling yourself with the Spirit of God and learn to speak from your spirit. Thank you, Lord. I had it in my heart tonight for Nehru just to minister to you in song. So the praise and worship team is going to sing. If you need healing tonight, receive it. What do you mean receive it? Believe that God is going to heal you right now. Thank you, Father. Praise and worship team, go ahead. I'm going to squeeze in with you guys.
This time, deliverance it will bring. But they fail and fail time and again. 'Cause by the arm of flesh, you will not prevail. But there is a power that can do anything. It's the power of Holy Ghost, it's the anointing. Oh, yes, it is. It's the anointing, the Holy Ghost from heaven. would yield to him and respond to him. If you let him have his way, he will manifest his goodness in this place. So many have tried so many different things, hoping maybe this time deliverance it will bring. But they fail and fail time and again, because the armor flesh, it will not prevail. But there is a power that can do anything. It's the power of the Holy Ghost. It's the anointing.
This place tonight, receive your healing, receive strength in your bodies, receive peace in your minds, receive comfort, receive the assurance that everything is going to be all right, receive healing from cancer, receive healing for things that the doctor has said there's nothing they can do. There is a power that can do anything. It's the power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit. He'll manifest in your life physically. We rebuke cancer. We rebuke tumors. We speak life and health and strength over everyone under the sound of our voice. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Now, there's a call connected with this message tonight, because tonight you heard and saw at a level that you don't hear very often. And you're seeing light. You're seeing the truth, how to get to the places they were operating at. Everyone with heads bowed and eyes closed tonight, if you're really serious about getting to the place that Jesus trained Peter and John, if you're really serious about working for God at this level and becoming a harvester for God, someone that he can work with and work through, I want you to lift your hand and just say, Lord, I want this. And I want a relationship at this level with you. And from now on, I'll respond immediately to everything I sense in my heart from you. I will respond in seconds. I will respond in seconds. Say that with me. I will respond in seconds. When I hear your voice, I will respond by faith in seconds and speak what you want me to speak and do what you want to do. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. If you're here tonight and you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and as your Savior, He's been reaching towards you your whole life, offering you the place in the family that always has been yours. But you've never taken your seat. You've never taken your chair. Tonight, pray this with me. Say, Father, I accept the place at the table in your family that you have reserved for me. I accept the death, burial, and resurrection, of your Son, Jesus Christ, as payment to come back into the family of God. And I will never leave you, Lord. Thank you for forgiving my sins and putting me in right relationship with you. Use me for your glory, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. If you're here tonight and you prayed that prayer for the first time, are you brave enough to raise your hand and let us know so we can rejoice with you? I know usually you're not, but I just thought maybe tonight. Anyone, you've prayed that prayer for the first time? All right. Well, thank you so much for coming tonight. I'm going to hand the service over to Pastor Jenny. She has just a few announcements, and then we'll close with a song. God bless you and all your families from the All Nations Church family.